When the day of Pentecost was come, was fully come, not even just come. When the way the King James Version put it is, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it says they were all with one accord in one place. So that's what God has been laying in my heart, and I've been thinking about it, and I've been asking myself, God, what are you saying to us? What are you trying to say to us here? And we all know that the text of our top of our message is Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth." So this message, what am I looking at this morning? What are we trying to share with ourselves this morning? I want us to look at event leading to Pentecost. Pentecost itself and what happened after Pentecost. That's what I want to look at in the two Sundays I've got. And God, I pray that God will give me wisdom to be able to share and speak as an oracle and the mind of God this morning. As Christ followers, we want to remind ourselves of the significance of this experience and what it meant to us as modern-day Christians. We will recall that Pentecost is not just introduced to us by Jesus or by Jesus' followers. It's part of the Jewish tradition that they observe Pentecost. So why is it so important to us? It's important to us because if you look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus said something to his disciples. He was admonishing them, and he said to them that they should wait in Jerusalem. He said, being assembled together with them, commanded them and that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father. What does that mean? Jesus had always told him about the Holy Spirit. He's always told him that there is the third hand of the Father, and that is the Holy Spirit. He has come, he as a son has come. He as a voice of God has come. But he said they should wait. There's someone that will tell, although they've seen him, but there's someone that will explain to them better who he is. Although he's taught them, he's shown them the way of God. He's come into the world to show them that, look, I've come to live in your midst and to show you that God and man need to have a fellowship and a relationship. But that is not just all. There's more of God that you need to know. And that knowledge can only be passed on to you by the Holy Spirit. You might have seen all these things that I've done among you, but the ability to be able to tap into the proper path that God wants you to be is the Holy Spirit. Bearing in mind, at the beginning of creation, God made it clear that in creation there was a presence of the Holy Spirit. Because when he spoke the word, the Spirit that was flowing, he said before creation at all, the Spirit was roving, was hovering all over the face of the earth. And when he spoke the word into the atmosphere, the Spirit joined in. And I love Louis Giglio so much. I've come to love the man that we just showed before the communion. If you Google him, if you go on YouTube, you see a lot of his message. A man that is linking science and God and saying, look, people might say this about science, but this is God in science. And he was talking about the Spirit was hovering, and that same Spirit has come to explain Jesus to us. And that was what Jesus was saying to them. And this morning, I want to open the series of this message on what is the waiting. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait until the Father endue you with the power, the promise of the Father. It's the waiting that I want to talk about this morning. And in Redemption in 252, one of our songs, that's a song I love so much about the Holy Spirit. He says, "Thou, Christ of burning cleansing flame, send the fire." The blood brought gift, today we claim, send the fire. He says, look down and see this waiting host. That's the part of it. Look down and see this waiting host. We want another Pentecost. Send the fire. That's what that song says, 252. And when you look at that word, I look at words of songs and I look at the people that wrote them and said, what were they thinking of when they were writing these songs? He says, look down and see this waiting host. This song cannot be more hard than now, because the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. But the sons of God cannot manifest God until they have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They have the experience of Pentecost. Because what happened in Pentecost changed the face of Christianity, changed the face of Jesus' followers. Peter, who was not bold enough to talk about Jesus, after Pentecost, stood in front of thousands of people, millions of people that have come for the feast of Pentecost, and he was speaking boldly of Jesus Christ. This is a man that was denying Jesus in the presence of even a maid. He now stood in front of people and was speaking about Jesus. And that day, the Bible says 3,000 people were converted that day. So basically, we want revival, we need another Pentecost. But for you to have another Pentecost, there is a waiting. And that is what God is saying to us here. As some of us will know, I love boxing so much. And it's a sport that I've involved in, and I love it so much. And I've been following the development in the boxing world, because there's a new sheriff in town, as Mike Tyson calls it, the new sheriff in town in the heavyweight boxing. And that new sheriff has been a man that sometimes I ask myself, where do I get the time? I just click on those things and I listen to some of the words that they say. And this young man was talking about how much time he spent to train for a fight. And I mean, while I was sitting down watching one of these days, my wife was asking me, "Oh, that your guy that you used to watch on TV, that what happened? He's not fought another fight since that time. Why is he not fighting?" And I just looked at it and I laughed and I said, "For an heavyweight boxer to fight a fight, it takes 3 months to prepare. For him to be able to fight, it takes 3 months to prepare for a fight. They go into a camp and wait for 3 months. And in those 3 months, what do? They do all the boxing practice, they do diet practice, they do discipline, they do consistency. He has to do all that. And there's a boxer called Billy Joe Saunders. Recently, just fought in the light heavyweight or middleweight title. He just fought. And people saw him when he came out of his camp to start preparing for his fight. People said, "What has happened to you? You're so lost weight. You're so in shape." And he said, "Look at my dietitian. He's standing next to me. That's the man that's changed my looks." And that's just it. Because they prepare so much, they spend so much time to prepare for a fight. And that is how they win. But if you don't prepare very well, there was an incident of how Mike Tyson failed himself when he fought Buster Douglas, and that's how he started losing his title. He did not prepare properly. He was always on the street, going around with women, driving cars around and doing everything. He thought, "Yes, I'm Mike Tyson, I'm a champion." And a man without any name knocked him out. So he did not prepare. And that's what then sank into my mind about this waiting. And it just got me thinking that waiting, what does it mean? It's basically a time of denial, a time of seeking, a time of trying to connect. When Jesus told his disciples to wait, remember before then, he has already told them, when they asked him about signs and wonders, he has already told them that these things cannot be done except by fasting and by praying. He was telling them, you want to do miracles, it's by fasting and praying. I have my waiting time too, he said to them. He always waits on God. So, but in the waiting time, the question we need to ask ourselves as Christians is, what do we do in our waiting time? Acts chapter 1, verse 14 says, they continued in one accord in prayer and supplication. They continued in prayer and supplication. So in the waiting time, there are things to be done. In the waiting time, it's not just to wait. It's not just to sit down and cross your hand and leg and say, I'm waiting. The thing that you have to do, number one, is that you have to have a purpose. The Bible says they waited in one accord. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. That's the interesting thing about it. It said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord, one purpose. Are you in one mind? What is it that you are seeking for? Are you seeking God with all your mind? Jesus gave us that two commandments. He said, love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your strength, and with all your mind. He's basically putting your hope on him. And at the beginning of the year, remember what our theme was, is that we were waiting upon God. We believe that God is the only one that can lead us into that position of authority and power that we are seeking. And for you to be able to excel and receive the Holy Spirit, you need to have a purpose. The purpose of seeking God. Today, unfortunately, the church does not seem to have a common purpose. We do not seem to have a common purpose. The purpose of the church of Jesus Christ is to lift the name of Jesus high for the world to see. That is a purpose. The church does not have any other thing to do but to show Christ to the world. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto myself. Christ himself will draw men unto himself. But we need to lift Jesus Christ up for the world to see. Are we doing that? When Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will teach you everything about me, he was telling you that, look, I've told you these things, but the Holy Spirit will explain it better to you. And he said, look, the church as it stands, when the disciples received the Holy Spirit, I love what Peter said to the Sanhedrin. He said, hang on a minute, what do you guys want me to do? Do I obey you or obey God? What do you want me to do? He was asking them, do I obey you or obey God? That is the center focus of every one of them was to preach Jesus Christ. They waited in prayer and supplication. And the other thing they did was that during the period of waiting, they did a proper housekeeping. If you read Acts chapter 1, you can see it there. They did a proper housekeeping. They were able to appoint a replacement for Judas Iscariot. They were all sitting down there, taking decisions and preparing themselves. How do we prepare ourselves? And then they were admonishing themselves in the word. They were, in those days, they never had the Bible as we do now. But they had the Psalms. They were reading the Psalms, the Bible says. We are privileged to have the complete Word of God in our hand. How much time do we spend on the Word? How much time? Because for you to understand God, you need to apply yourself into God. And when you apply yourself into the Word, as you read it, the Holy Spirit himself will then explain it to you. But if you don't read, you can't run on empty. As Lord Denning would say, you can't place something on nothing. It's not possible. There has to be something for you, for the Spirit. God is looking for something to place, for him to be able to walk with in you. God wants to walk with you, but he's waiting for you to show forth, to be able to prepare yourself for him. So they admonish themselves in the word. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, he said, Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. God admonishes us to wait, because those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting time is very important. Waiting time is important for a Christian. We cannot just continue to say we are Christians without waiting to receive from God. And this is the first bit of it. Then the second bit of it is, what are we waiting for? What are your expectations? Jesus said to the disciples, wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. Because they knew that there was a promise, they waited. You, as a Christ follower, you know that the completeness of you is in Christ Jesus. And therefore, you cannot do anything on your own. You need him to be able to do all things around you. The disciples in the upper room were waiting in expectation for the promise of the Father. Just as a fourth person will be waiting, will go through all the regime because of the big result that is waiting for. Most of them, they go and fight because of the belt. They fight because of, they run the race because of the gold medal. Everything that they do is all centered on what will happen and what they're expecting to receive. Recently, God has been speaking to me about the 10 virgins. And I believe I've shared in one of the, I don't know where I was, but I've shared this with some people before. And he was talking about 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. These two groups were waiting. They were actually waiting for the bridegroom to come in. They were waiting for the bridegroom to come in. But one group was waiting on empty. Isn't it? One group was waiting on empty. And why were they waiting on empty? They grew weary along the way. Their expectation became distorted. They allowed the environment to dictate their expectation. And that is a big mistake that Christians make these days. God is not going to adapt to society. The society needs to adapt to God. The Holy Spirit will come into a heart that is ready and waiting. The Holy Spirit will come into a heart that gives himself up and not say, God, you have to work on my time. God cannot work on your own time. You need to work on God's time. That is the waiting. You cannot tell God how to work. He tells you what, because it's his will and his power in you that propels you. You are not yourself. Paul said it clearly. He said, the life I now live, I live for him who loved me and gave himself. The life Paul now lives, not my life, but the life that he has given me to live. That is the beginning of it. Surrendering all at the foot of the cross. Giving everything up. Saying, look, thy will be done. Thy will be done. In 1 Kings chapter 18, there was a narrative of a prophet called Elijah, a great man of God, who destroyed the prophet of Baal. In verse 10 of that 1 Kings 18, he talked about Elijah. They talked about that how Elijah has not been found by the king emissary till the day. Elijah was kept away by God, and until it was time for God to manifest his glory through him. I remember when he met Ahab. Ahab said, "See the troubler of Israel." That's the way Ahab described it. "See this troubler of Israel. Where have you been?" So he's not seen him. He's like, "Oh, this troubler of Israel, where has he been?" But God was, he was waiting for a time for God to manifest. And when Ahab told him that, he said to Ahab, "Look, let's meet at the mountain. Bring all your prophets, bring all your priests and everything. Let them come and meet me in the mountain. Let's know who is God. If Baal is God, we'll know today. If God is God, we'll know today." He had a waiting time for this manifestation of God's glory. God kept him until it was time. The same way the Holy Spirit is waiting upon you. He wants you to have a time that you will tarry and wait for him. It's for you to keep the Holy Spirit, but you have to prepare yourself to receive it. The Holy Spirit is for you to keep, but you have to prepare yourself to receive it. As the disciple waited until the day fully came and the Holy Spirit came upon them, God is inviting you to wait. God is inviting you to a waiting time. He's inviting you to put your whole trust on him, to receive of him. God is asking you that in your prayer life, you wait. In your daily life, you wait upon God. He wants you to commit your ways unto him. He wants you to surrender everything about yourself unto him. He wants your undivided loyalty. He wants your undivided attention. He wants you to come back to the position in the Garden of Eden where he had a personal relationship, where he will be able to talk to you one-on-one. He wants you to have that time when you will be able to share your heart with him. God wants to do great things in our world today. And whether we like it or not, we are beginning to see the sign that God wants to move. It's time for the revival of God to happen again. But it is only those that wait that God will be able to work with. We can't run above God. We can't run beyond God. God needs to lead our path. We are actually the one that God is preparing for the end time. But then we need to be equipped for the end time. We need to put on the whole armor of God. And when we put it on, to stand and wait for the commander to lead us. God wants to do a great thing in our world today. God wants to use you and I, but he wants to fill us with the power to be able to do those things. God is still in the work of signs and wonders. God is still in the work of converting souls. We might look at it and say, the churches are small, the numbers are small in the churches today. It's just because we have not waited enough. And God is asking us to wait upon him. Not put up events and activities, but trust in God for the miraculous. Waiting on God. Putting God first in everything. Letting him high for the world to see. And the next Sunday, that we'll be talking about what happened after Pentecost. And we all know what has happened after Pentecost. We know that there was signs and wonders that followed after Pentecost. That is how Christianity came to the whole world. Because after Pentecost, they were bold enough. Because what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses all over Judea, Samaria, and all over the world. The world has had this experience of Pentecost. But the world, our world now, our present generation, is waiting for another Pentecost. And that is going to happen when we wait. God bless you. And I'm praying this morning that as we continue to wait, the Lord will strengthen us. He will give us the power to continue to tarry. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just speak to God this morning. Is there anything is there any way you've run and you've not allowed God to take preeminence? Ask for the Holy Spirit of God, for the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. Tell him that you want to be used for his glory. You want him to fill you anew. Just speak to God. Tell him, my heart is open for you, Lord. Come into my heart this morning. I've kept you out for too long. Come and have your place in my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit.